This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
This week's episode of Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Indra Guitars. Whether you're after a full custom electric guitar, a repair, or just the smallest of modifications to make your instrument stand out from the crowd, Indra Guitars can guarantee a truly original result so that your guitar really is your guitar and there isn't another one like it in the world. Indra Guitars can realise your concept through discussion and understanding. You'll not be asked to conform to a pre-existing format or adapt your ideas to suit a production line. Design limitlessly from the ground up with the help of a fully trained, artistically minded luthier willing to break all the boundaries. Indra Guitars' expertise in acid etching on their own guitar designs, custom plates, inlays and head caps gives you complete control of your instrument's aesthetic and opens the doors to a wholly original instrument as unique as the player themselves. Check out Indra Guitars at IndraGuitars.com and get in touch to start a conversation about your next dream guitar. Welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Mark Packham.
What's up?
Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Matthew Knight.
Word.
Exactly. And on this week's episode, there's a decent amount of news to talk about, and we're going to be taking questions from our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Now, as we normally do now at this stage in the podcast, we're going to welcome our new Patreon backers. You can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/guitar nerds. But welcome this week to Gary Flower, Brian Hansen, Blaise Bazaire, Timothy Lynch, and Michael Howe. Thank you very much for joining the club. I guess a slight precursor. Now I'm going to tell you all about this, the competition, in a minute that we're currently running with Redbeard Effects, but a slight precursor to that is to explain to the audience that that this week we're going to be going a little bit old school with our Patreon song at the end. We're going to have for one episode only.
You're going to do it?
I'm going to try and do it in one breath.
Yes, mate.
So there's the reason behind it is that today my laptop
fried. You dropped your computer down the toilet.
Yeah, exactly. So
I don't understand why anyone would have their laptop in the bathroom with them.
Weird, but that.
It's just because
strange.
I'm working. It was right there,
24/7, working all the time, no matter what I'm doing.
What's that? 24 seconds, 7 minutes a day.
working something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, so my laptop has broken, and whilst it's being repaired, unfortunately, I don't have any access to a door to record the song. Certainly not in time for it to come out. So we're going to be going a little bit odd score. We're going to be trying to do this in one breath.
Do we know how many more people there are in comparison to the last time we did it? Or maybe there's fewer. Maybe people have got bored of us.
There are more, in fact. We got two extra 10 tiers this week. So
I reckon you can. They don't count. Need to be a full calendar month.
Right, yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, obviously. There are more patrons now than there have ever been on our Patreon. This is going to be extra tough. I don't know if I'll actually be able to make it through, but we'll see. We'll see if I can. Anyway, first we need to talk about this this red beard effects giveaway that we're doing. So as mentioned in the last 2 weeks, we've teamed up with Mikey Demas from Red Beard Effects, and we're going to be announcing a winner to this competition here on the podcast on the 26th of February. Entries open worldwide, so you can join wherever you are. And you can enter on like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Patreon. You can even go to our website and fill in the form and join, or you can email us. All you've got to do is tag a friend who you think should also enter and answer the question: what is one piece of Red Beard merchandise that you can buy on the Red Beard website? And to find the answer to that, visit redbeardeffects.com. There are loads of posts all over our social channels, so just find one of those and comment on that, and that will be fantastic. And we'll be, as I say, announcing the winner right here on the 26th of February. Is that next week? I think that's next week, isn't it?
What's the date today? Yeah, it is next week.
Yeah, it's next week. So there you go. So it's nearly time for us to do that, but yes, that would be fantastic.
Can I win?
Well, yeah, if you enter and the wheel lands on your name, I guess
I'm
there's
not
nothing
to
stop.
I think that's a little unfair.
Well, it's not, it would be reasonable.
And we've got one here, and we could just take that instead.
Yeah, why not? No, that's the one we're giving away.
Oh, is it? Right, yeah. Okay. Well, let's just say we gave it away, and I'll take that one instead.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. How come he is giving us the like old pedal? Why aren't we getting his cool new pedal? Is it just he's got loads of stock of the old one?
I think it's more that we were given this some time ago to give
away.
Joe's
lazy.
Oh, okay, so it's not Mikey, cheaping out on us. It's you being lazy. Mm,
yeah, it's exactly that. I just wanted to do the giveaways in the new year, so it's now the new year and I'm starting the giveaways.
It's almost 2021. Like.
Well, anyway, it's going to be fantastic. Maybe we're going to have a wonderful Red Beard giveaway. Anyway, we should start talking about some guitar stuff. Mark Packham, you've become oddly excited about affordable acoustics.
Yeah, just a couple of things. They've been out for a while. This is not a news item or anything like that, but it is. It just came across my radar today. The Gibson G45 series, which are basically their affordable kind of alternatives to the J45.
Right.
So two options. I think it's the G45 standard, which is like £1,100, and the G45 studio, which is £869. And they're basically a stripped back version of a J45. They got kind of natural finishes to them. I did have the spec up here, but I haven't got them now. One second. Yeah, basically, they're a more affordable version. So, for example, the studio has got, like, a matte finish to it. And, yeah, that's how they kind of keep the cost down on that one. The standard is a gloss top, I believe. But it's kind of, again, stripped back from a regular J45.
So we've got no interesting sort of dot inlays, no graphics on the plate.
I mean, there's...
Just a dead simple dreadnought, that sort of thing.
There's dots and stuff, but there isn't... you know, like anything more fancy than that.
Right.
So you've got dots. And then I think on the G45 standard, there is actually a slightly more fancy inlay, like a little kind of triangular thing.
Cool.
Here we go. G45 studio. So G45 studio, the dots, only comes in antique natural. Things like the logo is not an inlaid logo. It's like a...
Stamped.
Not stamped, like a transfer kind of logo on there. And just all the things that are kind of, you know, much like the Les Paul studio is to a Les Paul standard.
Yeah.
It's all those kind of things that they've taken away. I'm not obviously not an acoustics connoisseur. So there's probably other things to do with bracing and stuff like that. But I did listen to a video and they sounded very, very convincing indeed.
What's the price point? Did you mention?
Yeah. So like I said, they are, what, $899, did I say? And like $1,100-ish.
So the studio's $899 and then $1,100-ish for the standard.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Like a $899 for a Gibson acoustic.
It's, yeah, worth mentioning. Considering that, Gibson... You know, they're American made as well. It's the Bozeman factory, is that right? Right. For the acoustics,
Montana,
yeah, mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is like Gibson acoustics. You know, if you were to say a Gibson electric starting at $899, it's like, oh yeah, well they've been doing that for a long time, and certainly they do guitars, you know, from $1,500 upwards as a normal guitar. So $899 for something stripped back is kind of right. Gibson don't really do anything affordable. They're like the most expensive of the top acoustic companies, yeah, out of the Taylor, Martin and Gibson. Gibson don't really bother doing anything at this price point.
No, I think, well, and I think they do now. That's the game. Yeah. To be fair, these came out a long time ago. They came out kind of 18 months ago or something like that, or a year ago. I just hadn't seen them.
Because
we don't pay attention to acoustics. And I just happened to see these kind of come onto my radar today. Looking at the spec, actually, I can kind of tell the things that are the main, not cost savers, but the things that bring them down into a lower price bracket. So both of them actually have a matte finish on the neck and on the back and sides of the guitar, with the standard having the gloss top, the studio having the matte top.
I see.
The Richlite fingerboards on there as well. So again, you know, cost, that generally brings the cost down. But, you know, overall, they just seem like a really good package. They've both got Fishman pickups in there, so you can plug them in.
They're
as well.
They're not just acoustics.
No. Okay. They've both got Fishman pickups in there. I'm really into it. I'm sort of thinking about a new acoustic because, you know, I've got the GS Mini, but, you know, it's a GS Mini. They're a cool thing. Cool thing to have, nice little thing, but I kind of want... I'm feeling like I need to get rid of all the cheap stuff that I've got and just have some, one or two really nice things. And on the electric, obviously, I've got the Les Paul Junior that I love. On the P-Bass, on the bass side, I've got the P-Bass, which is the only bass I'll ever buy again, probably. Maybe I just want a really nice acoustic.
Well, it's not a bad idea, and this is a great option for that.
Totally.
You're getting a top-tier brand with top-tier build quality, but, you know, and especially for you or any of our listeners out there, if you're not especially acoustic-driven but you want a really good quality acoustic, this is a fantastic alternative.
Yeah, this, to me, is like, if you're very much like me, the person who... A Gibson guitar would be, you know, if I was going to buy a Gibson right now, new, it'd be like... SG Special Faded, right, that kind of vibe.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like, I'm not going to be going to your 2020 or whatever they're calling it, Les Paul Standard with, you know, high gloss flame top. That isn't me at all. These kind of fall into that price category almost. Like, right, the same buyer that's going to buy a faded SG or faded Les Paul Studio, that's where these guitars sit, but on the acoustic side. So, yeah, I'm into it. I think I'm going to check one out.
Yeah, very cool. And a fantastic kind of alternative, as I say, to like the entry-level Martins and entry-level Taylors. I think more a competitor for Martin. But, you know, I think for Taylors, I've always found Taylors tricky for me because I like vintage-style guitars, and I find Taylor a bit modern. Taylor are like the PRS of acoustics. They're a bit sort of...
I still like them. I still think, to me, even the Taylor acoustic... has got a bit more, I don't know, they've got a bit more vibe to it.
Do you think there's vibe? I find them like anemic in that sense,
yeah,
like vibeless.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because I don't really have strong opinions about acoustic. But for me, like, yeah, PRS don't really work for me. They don't kind of vibe with me. Whereas I could pick up a Taylor. I could rock a Taylor.
Fair enough. I just, they're a touch modern. But again, you know, but I'm very vintage minded, so I don't even like the modern Fenders.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess there's that. But, you know, and certainly with Martin, the problem with them at their entry level is whether or not this actually makes a difference to how good the guitar is, but their entry level guitars all have like a ply neck. Neck and headstock is all a sort of multi-piece
of, which kind of looks
wood.
Cool. I think it looks
fantastic, but it's something that makes people overlook the entry level Martin, certainly when you consider that you're not getting that sort of thing from any other brands. I just think it puts Gibson in quite a good position at this price point.
Yeah, I'll be interesting to see how they do. I think the reason this came across my radar is they're like just coming into the shops now, maybe. I just saw a couple of people posting about them and I was like, is this a new thing? And then looked and it isn't. But I suspect maybe they're only just arriving.
Right, I see. Oh, very cool indeed.
But yeah, I want to try one out, definitely.
Absolutely. Awesome. Jay Cross. How's your week been in music?
It's been all right. I've been to two shows this week. So on Wednesday, Mark bullied me into going to see a band with him that he really wanted to see. It was raining and I wanted to stay in, but you know, I'm a friend and it's nice to, you know, try and get him out of the house every now and again.
Absolutely.
My house as well as his.
we're actually both primarily going there to meet up with a friend who in the end didn't turn up.
Didn't want to go. So, you know, that's that. But anyway, we went to see this band called Pew Pew Pew.
Right.
Which is P-K-E-W.
Times three.
Yeah. And it's as if shooting a gun. And they were this Canadian pop punk band. The thing that I thought was really funny, I guess, about them was, so it was at the Prince Albert, which is this 100 or so capacity pub in the centre of town. Really good venue. Sounds always really good.
Fantastic.
They do Guinness, which is, you know, all you really need. What was really funny about the setup was they were clearly touring in like a small van or maybe a car.
Maybe on the train.
It wouldn't have been on the train because like they had cabs and stuff.
Right. Yeah, but maybe they didn't bring those. Maybe that was the support bands.
Maybe. I think it's unlikely.
Because it was local support, which to me says that maybe they got roped in.
Speaking as the expert in the promoting punk show business.
Well, I don't know. It just seemed weird. Like if you're going to have, like you wouldn't fit the drum kit, 2 412s and a bass cab into a small car.
I'm supremely experienced in doing just that.
And for maybe five people because they had a merch person as well.
Well, you know, anyway, moving on from that, it wasn't on the train. They were probably in a small van. The thing that was really weird was that both guitar players were using Vox MV50s. Into Marshall 4x12s.
Oh, the MV50 was the tiny, small one, like Vox's answer to the Orange Microterra, but the Orange Microterras were 20 watts and these were 50 watts, weren't they, the little Vox ones?
But I think they're smaller than the Microterra.
Oh yeah, probably are.
They're tiny, really small.
But both guitar players were using that into 4x12s, and then the bass player.
Firstly, they sounded really good.
It sounded really good.
Yeah, I only had a brief time with them at GAC, but I always thought they sounded way better than I expected.
I don't know.
Considering Vox's lack of success in sort of trying new things.
Yeah, I think it's been hit or miss. Yeah. But like, I don't know which flavour they were using, because there's a few. There's the AC, the Boutique, the Clean, the High Gain, and the Rock. Can you remember roughly? You can't remember what colour the grill was, because that's the giveaway.
I think it was the AC type one.
Okay. The AC is the one you go for, I think, unless you want something really specific.
But they sounded amazing. So the main fella was playing a Strat, and it sounded very Strat-y.
I tell you what, I thought the Strat sounded great. So he was playing it in position 2 or 4, I can never remember which way around it is. He was playing it in it like neck and middle.
Right.
And I thought it sounded amazing.
That's a very funky position.
Yeah, it was. And then the other guitar player was using what I think was an American Pro Jazzmaster.
Right.
Like he sounded good. But the rhythm guitar player, the vocalist who was playing the Strat, it was like a really interesting sound, but it sounded really good. Clearly, at one point, like I saw him, like he was playing, and the sound engineer had clearly like turned away, so he turned around and just turned his amp up, and it actually did make a lot of difference. It sounded much better.
Right.
And then the bass player, I think, was using one of those Ampeg micro VR stacks. So like one of the small.
I understand now why you think they were travelling in a small car.
But it is weird the fact that they then had two full Marshall 4x12s.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe that was the only cabs they were able to borrow in this country.
I just kind of feel it's like, why would you have those cabs if you had small heads? I think they must have been in a car maybe doing it and then using local backline.
Maybe. But yeah, so it was very funny. And just a cool kind of way to show that you don't, like, you can get away with small things if you're playing small shows.
And also, like, kind of,
And I say small shows. You know, there was 80 people there, which for a punk band is fantastic.
I will say that the Prince Albert is it's a small venue. It is also a fantastic and very renowned venue in the UK.
It sounds amazing.
The sound system there is very good. So that's always going to help, with a battery amp.
It kind of speaks to what I was going to say of, like, if you're in a decent venue with a decent PA and a decent engineer, and crucially, you're a good band. You can sort of use anything.
Because
if someone said to you, you've got a tour of the UK, you're going to be using local backline, but we need you to bring heads to all the gigs. Your first choice wouldn't be for you to think, I know, Fox MV50s.
That's it, I'm in.
You would probably still
How much is an MV50?
I think they may be discontinued. I looked on one site and it said product unavailable.
100 quid, a couple of places got them up for. Price is actually all over the place. I think it depends what you get.
All over the place. But you can get them for as little as £100.
So, yeah, I mean, like I said, if you're in a small car and someone said, what amps do you want us to get you for this thing? You can fly in, pick them up, and you can drive around in this car. You'd probably still, just because off the top of your head, you'd go, Orange Microterra or something from one of the obvious choices.
Yeah.
But they were using these Voxes and it sounded great. And I kind of think, it's half because that product is actually really good.
Because it's their new tube technology, isn't it?
But also, secondly, you can just make... If any guitar amp works, basically, you can make it sound good.
Right.
Yeah, that's totally. It. Yeah. And then, so that was Wednesday or Tuesday. I've already forgotten.
Wednesday.
And then on Saturday, on completely the other end of the spectrum, I went to see the Menzingers, who are this punk band from Philadelphia. They played at the Kentish Town Forum. Uh-huh. Which is 2,500 capacity. And that was really funny, again, because it's like, actually at both shows, I was kind of looking around. So the show that we went to when we saw Pew Pew Pew, I put on not so much anymore, but I put on a lot of like gigs and that. And I just didn't hardly recognize anybody there. It's like, this band seemed to exist kind of in this like adjacent like punk scene to the shows that... I mean, basically, they clearly have better taste than the stuff that I was putting on. And then the Menzingers, there's like 2,500 people there. And it's like what else are you listening to? Like, what's going on? But Menzingers, I try and go and see them whenever they come over. You know, they're a Philadelphia band, so I've kind of got that link because Maddie's from Philadelphia. And it was just loads of people there that I knew. And again, they sounded fantastic.
What sort of backline do the Menzingers use?
The two guitarists...
Fox MV50s.
One of the guitarists was using a hand-wired AC30.
Oh, what? The Fawn finish
ones? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Lovely.
I mean, I had one of those and I absolutely loved it. So it was one of those and some sort of Marshall 4x12. Uh-huh. And then the other guitar player had also a Marshall 4x12 and some sort of Fender amp.
Right.
And then the bass player was using an Ampeg 8x10, I think. I don't know. I'd been to a beer festival earlier in the day, so my memory may be clouded, as was the beer. But it was it was good. It just I'm just trying to like go to more shows this year. Like I felt like last year and even the year before. Yeah, just kind of like stopped going and stopped like saying yes to go to stuff. And sometimes you go and like the bands that you go and see are genuinely really, really good. So, I'm just saying yes to going to more shows. That's what I want to do that this year. Just go and see more bands who I'm like, nah, I think I'll stay in and watch the telly.
Wonderful.
Huh. I want to watch them play the telly caster.
Tell you what, talking about tellies, just looking at some photos of Pew Pew Pew, they've either got amazing guitar collections or they just are really good at borrowing guitars from people.
Right.
Because almost every single picture of them on Google Images, the two guitar players are playing a different guitar in every single photo.
I saw that as well because I was trying to find earlier this week, we were talking about what that strap was that he was using.
Yeah.
I think it was some sort of, I think it was like an 80s strat. Right.
But so this first picture, the main fella is playing a Les Paul Melody Maker. Remember the ones from maybe like 10 years ago that were a single thin body Les Paul Junior? But it looks like it's got a humbucker in it maybe. And the other guitar player is playing a Midnight Wine Telly. Skip forward a couple pictures and the main fella is playing a SG Melody Maker.
Oh, yes.
And the other...
I can get behind that.
And then he's playing a Jazzmaster in this photo. And then he's playing a Strat. And then there's more different tellies. There's the SG Melody Maker. Yeah, it's all over the place.
Oh, very cool.
I mean, we've all been in bands where we show up without our guitars and, you know, it works out. Maybe that's just what they always do.
There's an SG Standard there. There's a...
Joe, I've never seen anyone look more confused than when I said that. It's a Joe. Sorry, excuse me. What? How can you show up with how can you show up without your guitar? What if the what if it's not in the correct tuning?
Why are you saying singular? Why would you turn up with one?
I was thinking about this the other day. One of the first ever kind of bigger gigs that I did was an all-dayer at the Concord, which is in Brighton, which is maybe 800 capacity, something like that.
No, 650.
I think. But it was an all-dayer, so it was like loads of basically teenager punk bands with like one headliner. The idea being that the headliner was the band that the people who knew what they were on about wanted to see, and probably quite expensive, but wouldn't bring that many people. And then you fill it with nine other bands from the local area that bring their, you know, 25 mates each, something
right,
like that.
Right.
And it's enough to fill the hall roughly. You don't pay any of the local bands, and then you just pay the headliner with the money that these children essentially have brought in, me being one of them. And anyway, on that first gig, bear in mind it's a 650 cap venue or whatever it is. A band turned up at, like, everyone was sound checking, all the bands sort of arriving. This band turned up and they were like, oh, we're here then. And the promoter's like, okay, yeah, just put your stuff over there. And they're like, what stuff? And he's like, you know, your guitars and that. And they were like, oh, we didn't bring any. You said we didn't need to bring any stuff.
What?
And he was like, no, I meant like, you didn't need to bring like a drum kit or like amps because it's an all day and there's some here already. And they were like, oh, we didn't. We thought that we didn't have to bring guitars and that.
Oh,
Then then they were like, but we got two guitar players, so we did think we should bring a spare amp, Marshall MG10. and the promoter just went, yeah, no, yeah, you're not playing. See you later. They just had to leave.
Amazing.
It was
that
great.
That is awful. Now, Matt Knight, you added to your pedal collection this week.
Yes, I did two things, actually. I had a birthday.
HBD.
And for my birthday, I bought a new studio desk.
What?
Why?
Because
I am working from home a lot more and I need a decent desk. And one of my goals for this year is to start recording some more music. It's one thing I really want to get into. Since I got the Spire, I've been like laying down a bunch of ideas, and I'm like, I really need to make some music before I depart this earth.
A bit bleak.
Yeah, well, you know, you're 33 now, Matt. You're really getting on, you know.
I know. Oh, bloody old timer.
Were you inspired by me putting an album this year, Matt? Is that what it was? You listened to that and you thought, I need to be that good.
Yeah, basically.
Sure.
And all these stories of like playing gigs, I'm like, man, I'm really not doing very much. And I put a couple of like Instagram stories up of me doing like some ambient stuff, and I was like, really need to like get into doing some recording. So I was like, right, well, I'm going to start off by getting a nice desk so I can actually like have a place that I can actually feel like I can sit and work. So that's what I did first of all this week. And I can have like some synths and a drum machine, and I can play guitar, and it's big enough that I can actually like do guitar setups and stuff on it.
Oh, that's
which
cool.
Is something that
is
I've
it
been
a standing
able to
desk
do. It is not.
Oh.
No.
Oh,
I
missed out, mate.
Missed out, yeah.
Well, this desk was only like £120, so unless I mean have you looked at studio desks recently? They go to like insane money.
Yeah,
like I think some of them are like $2,500. I'm like, man, I wish I had a house big enough for that.
Yeah.
And then money enough to have to afford it. But what was annoying was they didn't put the dimensions of the desk correctly on their website. So the depth of the desk was about 30 centimetres more than it should have been. So
that's so much.
It is massive. But it's cool because I'm sitting on it right now again. And it's got a shelf just for my Space Echo.
Oh,
how about that?
That's
so
good.
I can sit here
that's
and be
nice.
Like...
Imagine finding a desk that has a Space Echo shelf.
Part of the only reason I actually bought it.
Is that the reason why you decided to go up in your loft this weekend, Matty?
Yes, and put my foot through my ceiling. That was after you've got to have a
classic.
You've got to have a low with every high. So and it was literally high because I stepped straight through the ceiling. straight through it. I was like, oh, I saved all this money by getting, you know, a cheap studio desk. It looks great. Oh, I've just spent it all by putting my foot through.
Someone's got to replaster my roof now.
Did you fall through or did the...
No, I just put my foot through.
I just imagine one little leg dangling down. That happened once when I was at a friend's house when we were kids and we were just like sat, you know, like... playing in his bedroom, like playing N64 or something, and then his dad was up in the loft, and then suddenly this leg, full leg, just came through the ceiling. He was like, "Oh bloody hell!"
Yeah, I did exactly that. There was more swearing, but I was so annoyed. I was getting ready to go home for the weekend, and I was just like, "I need to get this stuff up in the loft because I'd obviously dismantled my old desk and then slipped, and then it was like, bam!" I was like. Easy come, easy go.
So, Matt, what is for home recording?
What is my ceiling made out of?
what's your
very little
mostly
plasterboard.
Duct tape now, I imagine.
Yeah. No, it's just
what
a hole.
What is your preferred door for your home recording stuff?
Well, this is the interesting thing. So, at work this year, we have all been tasked with setting a... This is going to sound very... worky, but we've all been tasked in setting a personal development goal, which has to have some like achievements, and one of them is obviously I want to record this album, but also to do a little bit of kind of research and understanding in actually recording and what is the best thing to use for recording. I haven't done any home recording for about 7 or 8 years.
So what doors do you own in that case?
What do I own right now?
Yeah, what ones do you have?
I have nothing. I'm literally starting from the ground up.
Oh, my goodness. So you get to choose. You get to choose from scratch without having the influence of... Because everyone kind of learns one thing when they're young, and then you will always have the sort of, can I be bothered to learn a new door? Shall I just stick with this one? And people rarely sort of move over. But you get to choose. You get to pick.
I don't know. I don't know whether to go for, you know, to obviously go Logic or maybe do Ableton. You know, that opens up a few different...
I think Logic is fantastic. Logic is kind of the easy option for me. I think most things about Logic were easier to pick up than on most other doors. I think Ableton's a bit convoluted for what you would want it for. I don't think 100%...
I want it to do all the hard work for me. I basically want to plug my guitar in and be like... What plugins can I use? And then all the plugins do auto song on Logic.
Right. I think Cubase is really, really good as well. All the new Cubases are fantastic. And when it comes to actually buying affordable interfaces, Cubase have kind of the best quality ones on the market, mainly because they actually have real Neve preamps. In the got a little notification over there on Mark's computer, but yeah, you get real Neve preamps in the Cubase interfaces, which I think is a really cool thing. So
nice. I'm sort of just getting into it. So if anyone wants to put in the group experiences as well, that'd be very handy.
So podcast listeners, head over to the Facebook group and give Matt your suggestions as well.
And then it was partly also today was partly inspiring because it was the first time I'd sat down properly with the, again, a little bit worky. I sat down properly with the SY-1000 and was like, this thing is basically a soundtrack in a box. So I wasted half of my day playing with that. And I was like, man, if only I'd recorded some of this, it might have been worthwhile.
Well, I tell you what, Matt. You know, for getting you started, as you're there with your computer and your new desk, and you've got the SY-1000, the same bit of advice that I gave Mark advice on earlier to download a DAW with which to record this very podcast, as he was going to have to, is Presona Studio One. They do an option called Studio One Prime, I think it is.
Yeah.
Which is completely free. So you can buy they've got three tiers. The middle tier, which includes, you know, everything of what you really need, to be honest, is only £80. But there is a free version. It simply doesn't allow you to use plugins. So you're limited to the things that are included, the virtual instruments that are included. You can still obviously...
And presumably whatever signal you put into it.
Of course. So you still record your own instruments on there. All I mean is if you want to plug your guitar straight in, I think they've given you one Marshall JCM emulator on there, but there aren't any other...
Great pedal.
Amp presets. Oh yeah, sorry. But yeah, there's only the one amplifier on there. There's one of every effect you'll need, but yeah. there's not a large choice. There's some decent rack stuff as well for kind of doing basic, you know, track compression and some basic mastering tools on there. Basically everything you need. Good virtual instruments as well, good virtual synthesizers, plenty of Moogs and plenty of drum kits for you to build tracks. And I really like the actual MIDI controllable, so the instruments that you can use to build drum kits beat by beat and to build, you know, synth and keys parts as well, are really, really good for a product that's completely free.
After I've used it to edit this rubbish, I'm actually going to like use some of the loops and stuff that you get free with it to build some tunes and see what I can do with it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. We my band actually use it as a writing tool, so we all have the free version and we all write stuff. And Presonus has its own sharing community, so we can share the tracks between us and make edits on our own versions of it, and then send them see those edits done real time, just like a Google Doc, just like sharing a Google Doc with people. Well, so
now I know that you use it, I'm going back to Pro Tools.
Well, yeah, but you know, a fantastic tool, really easy to use. Some great like teaching software on the main page, so a good thing to check out, Matt. I think if you're into that sort of thing.
And I might actually, like, you know, mic up a guitar amp and learn how to mic up a guitar.
Surely
amp.
Not. I mean,
you don't. No one needs to do that anymore.
No, I'm going analog. Screw this Logic stuff. I'm going to buy a tape deck and just do it all on that.
There you go.
Set it up in my attic and hopefully not put my foot through it again. Maybe do that.
Yes. Anyway,
you're going to become one of those like loft dwellers, Matty. You're just going to like you're going to keep growing your beard and you're going to get more cats, and all of a sudden you're not going to need a roof because you've completely lined the floor with modular synthesis.
Sounds great.
It's no longer his loft, it's his command center.
Exactly, yeah.
Thing is, if it wasn't so cold in my loft, I would put more stuff up there, but
well, if you stop putting holes through the floor, I'm sure you'd be able to keep it insulated. Anyway, Matt, you also got a new pedal this
week.
Yes,
just arrived today, Old Blood Noise Minim.
Oh, I'm very excited to hear about this.
Wonderful.
We talked about it a lot, I think, on Gear of the Year, because it came out right towards the end of 2019, and it's sort of the upgraded version. I think you were sort of saying, Marcus, the upgraded version to the Reaver.
Like a new flavor, I think, of that pedal. So like different artwork, but also a couple of the functions are slightly different, I think. New sound as well.
Yeah, so it's I was doing a little bit of research just before we started the podcast. So you've obviously got reverb control and a modulation, which is like a harmonic tremolo. That's activated by the bypass control. You've then got decay, feedback, delay and time. So delay is your delay level. So you can mix those together. But then you've got, the reverse control. You've then got an order control, so whether reverb comes before delay. You can blend in the dry signal, and then you've got speed control as well. So I think you can actually change the speed of the reverse portion of the delay. So you can get these kind of octave up style shimmers and stuff like that. So yeah, I think they've upgraded a few of the features. And if I remember rightly, it's in conjunction with a company called Data Choir. I think that's who also did the Reaver as well.
No, I think it's not. I think the Reaver or Reaver was a collaboration. I think this is their own works, I think.
Ah, okay. I stand corrected.
Yeah, I believe so. I might be wrong on that, but you might want to just check on the site. But yeah, I think this is their own work.
Yes, but I'm excited to plug it in, and I had a bit of a chat with Dan and Brady at NAMM, who are also listening to this podcast, so hello to those guys. Thanks for sending it through, and look forward to checking it out and plugging it in and making some ambient noise. Since they did part of the Mood as well, I think it'd be cool to pair those two together and maybe make it the first track on my album.
I'm really excited about hearing Matt make ambient music. Certainly, it's something that you've always excelled at. It would be nice to hear you actually commit some to tape.
Play less notes.
Yeah.
I said January 1st, I said my outlook on 2020 is less is more. Do less.
So less notes, more pedals, yeah?
Stuff, but make it more impactful. So if I play exactly. Less notes, more ambience. And I'll just eventually record an album that's one note, and it'll be so ambient, it will just never finish.
Fantastic. People have been saying this podcast is one note for years, and
Now let's we should dive headfirst into a big old barrel of news.
News. That was really enthusiastic, Joe.
Oh, thanks. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay. So first up on the news, let's start with you, Matty, and I. Let's talk about some rock and roll relics. How about that?
Yes. I love this brand, and I think one of the only stores I've seen them for sale regularly is World Guitars, who, if you haven't been on their website recently, have a fantastic selection of loads and loads of amazing different sort of boutique guitars. So Rock and Roll Relics, a company out of LA who make kind of Gibson and Gretsch kind of clones, but all with their sort of own unique twist. I always think they've got a real kind of 50s theme running throughout. Obviously the guitars were made of that sort of era, but they always kind of add a few extra design touches I think are really nice. Plus they're obviously amazingly relic'd, but this is their new design. So this is the Revenge, which is their first offset set neck design guitar. So imagine kind of half, to me, it looks like half Les Paul, half Firebird.
Oh, is that what you think? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
It looks like a sort of squashed Firebird.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, squashed Firebird, a little bit of Les Paul about it. So this is a 24.75 scale, 10 to 14 inch compound radius fingerboard neck with a back calf profile, slim cut. But basically, yeah, kind of going for that Gibson-y vibe, but with a slightly bizarre body shape. I kind of, the more I look at it, the more I sort of am into it. It is very, very odd. But yeah, basically available in different...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Bodywood, so they're not sticking to one type, which I think is the theme that runs throughout most of their guitars. Mahogany, cedar, or carina finish. And then they usually use a thin nitro lacquer. You can have it in aged or non-aged, but they're aged guitars. They do relicking very, very well. Rosewood fingerboards, sort of Cloosen tuners, as you'd expect from that sort of Gibson style. The fact the ones on this are the very old school style ones that you would have got on the old... they have been the same ones on the juniors.
Yeah, or those like junior ones, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then reasonably priced...
ones, real squashed buttons, sort of Hohner. Hohner?
Yeah.
Hofner.
Yeah, basically. So 2799. I mean, yeah, if you haven't seen them before, definitely worth checking out their website, Rock and Roll.
We spoke
Relics.
About them quite a bit when the Billy Joe Armstrong came out.
It wasn't like a signature. He was just using one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
they're, no,
is
they're
that
not.
What it was?
Yeah, it wasn't like they're basically they do a number of kind of Les Paul Junior style models, so the Thunders model, Johnny Thunders model, and they do that in single or double cut. So it's like single, double cut Les Paul Junior. Uh-huh. And Billy Joe Armstrong was playing a single cut one that was like American flag, but it was instead of red, white and blue, it was like silver and black,
right,
kind of thing. Cool looking guitar, but yeah, it's so dangerous going on their website because like instantly you're like, I just want all of these. Like
yeah.
If any company knew about the guitars that we would want to buy, it's Rock and Roll Relics. Mm.
Absolutely. I mean, I really like the Black Heart, the single cut. That's their sort of P90 humbucker sort of It's sort of Les Paul bottom half, but then the top half is like a really squished Les Paul. I mean,
that's
I love the Lightning.
That's the Joan Jett signature. Well, it's similar to the Joan Jett signature.
Yeah, yeah.
Because yes. her band was the Black Hearts. Well, one of the bands she was in was Black Hearts.
The Lightning. I'm all about that. The 335 style guitar, but instead of F holes, it's got lightning bolts.
Yes.
And Gretsch Filtertron, cool. Or you know, some sort of like kind of Gretschy style pickups in there. Love it. All about that.
They did a pink one of those at NAMM year before last, which just looked amazing.
Yeah.
The Thunders are really good. They do the double cut, so there's a really cool Thunders double cut with just a single humbucker.
Also available as a bass, the Thunder, which looks
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, and it does look cool as a bass, definitely.
Yeah, there's a really good demo of it on Chicago Music Exchange from years ago. Very good.
I just want to buy all of these. I'm so into it.
I'm really into the Thunder 2, yeah, actually, as a rule.
Which one? Sorry?
The Thunder 2. So it's a double cut junior style, but the neck pickup is more centrally located.
Oh yeah, there's one in pink on their website right now. They've got one with a couple of TV Jones pickups in. The Starfighter, which is their carved top one, looks cool. They've got a whole bunch of great guitars in there, and they do like I said, they do relicking really, really well. So it's nice to see a kind of more unique body shape. I mean, their Blackheart and the Thunders are obviously inspired by sort of double cuts, but they do have a slightly different sort of curve to them. But it's nice to see a totally unique body shape come out from them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guitar Nerds is brought to you in association with Faith Guitars. Based right here in the UK, Faith Guitars are designed by British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle, who has been hand-building guitars for decades for some of the biggest names in the business. Founded in 2002, Faith Guitars have been voted the UK's best acoustic guitars 5 times in a row by both the public and panels of music industry experts, so you can be confident in your new Faith guitar. Like all quality acoustics, Faith guitars are made of all solid tone wood, so you can be sure they'll start off sounding great and improve year on year. Faith don't use laminated woods. But you'll be pleased to know that despite the all-solid tone woods, the superb specification and handmade construction, Faith guitars are still affordable, with prices starting at around £450 or $600. Discover the range at faithguitars.com and then visit one of the many UK or European retailers to try them for yourself. But hold up! If you're in the USA or Canada, you can buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com. And by using the coupon code NERDS at the checkout, you can get an exclusive 10% discount. So, in the UK and Europe, check out the guitars at your local dealer or faithguitars.com. But for North American listeners, buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com and use the coupon code NERDS for a special 10% off at the checkout. That's USA coupon code NERDS at the checkout. Faith Guitars, award-winning acoustics designed right here in the UK.
Can I do some news?
Yeah, I was going to give you the next news.
This has
article.
Been on the news forever on our list of post-NAMM news. In fact, I'm just looking at the press release, 16th of January, 2020. I want to talk about the Apex 808 from Maxon. Now, Maxon, obviously the fathers of the Tube Screamer-style pedal, the original OD-808, I believe.
Maxon, Maxoff.
Indeed. Before it was rebranded and licensed to Ibanez as the TS-808, was first called the Maxon OD-808. Maxon have gone back to their roots, and they brought on the original designer. I'm going to try not to butcher this name. Susumu Tamura, the creator of the original Tube Screamer, has come back on board, and they've basically kind of made the ultimate Tube Screamer. Tamura apparently has taken 100 different Tube Screamer, either like original ones or vintage ones or like brand new takes, listened to all of them, worked out how they all work, and has then gone, right, I can make the ultimate Tube Screamer.
That does sound cool. I mean, I wonder how many companies have claimed to have made the ultimate Tube Screamer.
Well, sure, but
I
mean, this is the original designer with the aggregate of the 100 best Tube Screamer clones. I mean, you're not going to get much better than this. Yeah,
I also think that's quite cool in the you know, it's not just the original designer saying, no, the original design is the best, and I am going to make you know, a new version of that or whatever. You know, they're he's sort of
learning from it. I guess.
Well, yeah, taking on board the tweaks that other people have done or whatever. You know,
yeah. Cool.
And, I mean, is there a more syndicated, you know, more not syndicated, a more like copied pedal, cloned pedal than the Tube Screamer?
I guess you're right. Probably,
or you know, this is my take on a Tube Screamer or whatever. Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
The only thing, or one of the things, I can't find a price for it at the moment. It doesn't. Oh no, $299 USD is where it's coming in at. So it is fairly pricey, and it's a very, very stripped back pedal. It's a very basic kind of black and green box with three controls on it. Which I think
it looks like the budget TC chassis that they've been using.
It's like the most basic layout three knob pedal that you could
imagine. Doesn't even have the controls like D, T, and L. I don't know what they do, but someone could try one and let us know. That'd be good.
The jacks aren't top mounted.
No, they are indeed side mounted. Joe's fussy.
We're so past this.
Joe's been reading one too many complaints on the internet.
Yeah. It looks super cool. I actually haven't listened to a demo of it yet because it's been on the news so long I kind of forgot that it even existed. So I haven't got around to listening to a demo. But I think it's a cool thing to go back to the original designer to produce something like this. And also to do it in a way that isn't particularly fancy. Like, you know, it's not like a sparkly green box or whatever. It's just like a cool retro-y 80s sort of looking pedal. This could have been the original design and you wouldn't even notice that it was different.
Yeah, I guess Ibanez have really covered the sort of doing all the sparkly
all the anniversaries and all that sort of thing.
There's
that
one that you can get in the massive box and it comes in like a padded bit. There was the gold one that they did for a little while as well. Do you remember that gold one?
Yeah, yeah.
Who was that made in collaboration with?
Gold, that was copper,
copper?
Yeah, that was the copper one. But I think there is a gold one available, and there was also that sparkly green one that had the green knobs on it as well. Looking at Maxon's website, they're not available yet. Release date TBD, and the price is $299 USD.
Well, still a very cool pedal. If you're into Tube Screamers, it might be one to get.
It might be the one.
Yes, absolutely. J. Cross, there's even more Fender news this week. Even more cool things have happened that Fender have done this week. And can I start us off with the... Can we talk about no-casters? Or not really a no-caster, but can we talk about that?
Yeah, sure. So 2020, the year that we're living in now, in case you're listening to this sometime in the future, is set...
Or the past.
Or the... Okay, yeah,
you love the past those.
The 2020 is the 70th anniversary of the first Fender electric... Sorry, my foot's caught on a bag. The first Fender electric guitar, which, as we all know, was originally called the Broadcaster. And then Gretsch sent a cease and desist because the Broadcaster name was owned by them. They made a drum... set called the Broadcaster. So the name was just scrubbed off the top of the guitar, and that's where we, you know, got the name No-Caster from, and then that eventually became Telecaster. I think I told this story
last week,
a couple of weeks ago, when we were talking about the you know, the custom shop and the American series reissue of the No-Caster. But what has launched now, and I think they're limited, so I don't want to dwell too much on it, but it's a an FSR style, although they're now called limited edition. I'm not really sure what the differentiator is, but a limited edition player telly, which is a butterscotch blonde telly with 51 No-Caster pickups in it. Really cool.
This is very cool.
Yeah, really, really cool. I mean, this is kind of what we all love about the kind of FSR or limited edition runs of Fender guitars. It's taking a guitar that you know and love and then just making a few little changes to it to turn it into something completely different.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, not that turning a player telly into a, you know, different type of player. Telly is that different, but still, it is cool.
Having the pickup and the right finish, this is the most affordable we've ever been able to get. A Fender headstock decal. I'm ashamed they haven't gone for the original bridge on this. It's still a player bridge.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's still a player guitar, you know. Yeah. And the thing is if you want the... if you want the quote-unquote proper Nocaster, then those are available. Or this year there's the Broadcasters available, which is very cool. And, you know, it's only a couple of £100 more and you can get the Vintera Tele mod, 50s Tele mod, a.k.a. the best guitar you could buy for under £1,000.
Sure.
But, you know, this, I think, is up there as a close...
Absolutely.
Close
very, very cool indeed. And certainly, if you like some of the modern applications of the Player series,
well,
that,
totally,
that
you
blended
know,
with these classic looks is a... really wonderful option.
There are a lot of complete wallies out there who don't like the classic Telecaster bridge. I mean, I don't really understand you, but that's fine. I guess you care about intonation and other such made-up things. But yeah, this is an option for people to get that sort of Nocaster aesthetic with a relatively reasonable price point.
Mm. Are we able to quickly talk about the other FSR guitars that came out this week?
So to be honest with you, I don't know a huge amount about them because they are...
I think we're talking about different guitars.
Oh, okay.
Because this isn't in the news. The Raw Ash limited edition guitars.
Oh, okay. I just didn't think this was that interesting.
I think they look amazing.
So this is Player Series as well, right?
No, this is Performers.
Oh, it's Performer.
Yeah.
Right. So the American
Performer, Raw
Ash.
What's
the standard now?
Strat
Performer.
And Tele. Right. Yeah, I don't know how much you know about them, Joe. I've literally just seen them pop up, and I think they look wicked.
Yeah. I mean, I know a little bit about them. I've seen a couple of them. I know that there's a Strat, a Tele, and a Jazz Bass.
I think it's just Strat and Tele.
Oh, yeah, it's just a Strat and Tele.
Okay. I don't think there's much more to know other than that they are a natural finish Ash. White plate? I think it was white plate.
Yeah, they're white plate. They're white plate. And I think the key is that they are. Does it say. Yeah. Layer of satin polyurethane finish.
Oh,
so yeah,
that's
it's like
nice.
A
so we'll have
it's
that
like
sort
a
of hand thin, rubbed finish.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly that. And I think they look super cool. I mean, it's the what do they call them? The Yosemite single coils in both.
Oh,
is that,
really?
Is that
oh,
just
yeah.
regular Performer spec?
The Yosemite pickups are what are in the Performers, yeah. And I tell you what, those, you know, not wanting to go too far down into it, but the Yosemite pickups are absolutely bloody banging.
Yeah. I prefer They're, Yosemite.
Yes, okay, Yosemite. The Yosemite, going to the Yosemite National Park, yeah. those pickups are really very, very good. They sound wicked, so.
Yeah, I'm into this. This, to me, is like... original Highway Ones, you know, satiny
That's
finishes.
True. I didn't think about that. That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I really like black scratch plates on like all the
I think like a natural guitar, you want a white scratch
Do
plate.
You?
Yeah,
maybe.
I like it.
I think I'm maybe governed by those 70s jazz basses.
Oh, yeah. But this is a different kind of natural, though. Those have got a kind of yellowy tint to them. This is very much a kind of...
just the wood.
Very woody
looking. Yeah, they are very woody.
And
yeah.
The white scratch part, I think, looks wicked. I'm into these a big way.
Oh, very cool indeed.
The other thing, which I think is probably a bit more interesting... Sorry, Mark, not to cut across you there. But the did you see about the Eric Johnson guitars that were... So they were announced at NAMM. The EJ Virginia. But what is... particularly cool about this and something that you might not have picked up on is the fact that the so there's two Eric Johnson models. There is the custom shop one, master built one, which is $9,000 or something, and then there's the
just I'll take two.
Okay, cool, that'll be $18,000.
Thanks.
There is the the standard American series one. So this is the 1954 Virginia Strat from the Stories collection.
Yes, I've seen this. So Stories is a new, range?
So
or is it limited
this
edition?
This is the first one from the Stories collection.
Right.
And basically what it is a guitar that is based on a modified original guitar. So Eric Johnson has this 1954 Strat, which is a sassafras body, which is a type of wood which wasn't used very regularly. In fact, from the small amount of research that I've done on it, it may have only come about in 1954. That seems to be the consensus that I saw on a couple of forums. But like I say, I'm sure people will come and say that I'm incorrect on that, which is fine. The thing that's different about it is that despite it being a 1954 super rare body, there is a Damasio HS2 in the bridge, and it's a 12-inch radius board neck, soft V neck.
Right.
So basically, the neck and the pickups have changed. But yeah, it's just part of a kind of a series of guitars that are not vintage correct in any way,
right?
But also maybe not kind of unique enough to be their own standalone signature model. So for example, Eric Johnson has still got his Thin Line Strat, which is, you know, a completely bonkers guitar. Having seen a Thin Line Strat, it's
so weird.
It really is. Yeah,
it doesn't look like it fits on the F hole.
Yeah, but it does, and they play really nicely. But so the Stories Collection, this is the first one in the series. I think it will be something to keep an eye on, because I think it could be a really interesting series as the as time goes on.
Is it going to be like a one a month sort of setup, or is it just random? We'll just see more stuff added to this series.
Yeah, more stuff will just get added as it goes. It's certainly not one a month.
Oh, very cool. Now, before we finish up this podcast, let's see if we can get one or maybe two questions answered on here. So,
I'm editing this podcast. Yeah, don't make me put the duck sound
so
in.
It's not me doing it. Look, there he is. Oh. He's making the noise. It's the question duck. Yeah, and now it is the time for the question segment of the podcast. I've sent you the duck.
You should just not put it in.
I'm just not going to put it in.
Please put it in.
I'm going to find another duck clip and put it in instead.
Well, you should. Fine. Whatever. Anyway, okay.
The question Canada Goose.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that would be good. Maybe we could move on to the question.
Don't give him
goose.
Ideas.
Anyway, we could do all the different sounds of various seafaring birds. Throughout that could be it.
Are you considering a duck a seafaring bird?
Yeah, they sort of they swim, they dive,
they don't go out to sea though. What? I think if they go out to sea, they die. Is that what you want, Joe?
Do you want to kill ducks? Do you hate ducks? Is that what it is?
Oh, my lord, that's a terrible thing for you to suggest.
No. Can we end the podcast now?
Okay, no, we're going to do some questions. Anyway, friend of the podcast, Joe Puttick, has asked this. He said, nerds, opinion, what is the best affordable, huggable, high-gain amp, modular, preamp, and power amp solution?
Huggable? Did you huggable. Add huggable in
no,
there?
No, but I love the term. Isn't it a great term? I'm going to use
do you
that.
Mean like, giggable?
Huggable. No, he said huggable.
Did he mean to
that's
auto-correct?
That's definitely auto-correct. That's definitely giggable.
But it's the same sort of thing, isn't it? We could say huggable.
No.
Yeah, like something that you could pick up. Huggable. He definitely meant giggable. I realise that now. I thought he was turning in the... I thought it was like a new phrase. I was like, this is good, like make gooder, a huggable amp. It's like an amp you can take on a train. But yeah, he means giggable.
I'm glad you said it, because I didn't want to bring it up. I was like, I'm missing out on something here.
Okay, fine. So he asked for the best affordable giggable high gain amp or modeler or preamp and power amp solution. He's about to start gigging again, and he's torn in many different directions. So I thought we'd talk about our preferences for things that I guess are giggable, affordable and also huggable. And you know, whether at the sort of affordability thing, when you're looking for high gain, what do you go for there? Do you go for a real amp? Do you go for a preamp and a power amp or a modular? Because certainly the high gain amps are probably more oversaturated than anything else. Certainly, like, you know, if you're looking for cleans
literally.
Or what?
More... oversaturated.
Right, yes. but I mean that, you know, if you're looking for a clean amp or like a bluesy amp, then there are things that are definitely definitely more preferred, you know, on the market than other things. Whereas I think high gain it's being pulled in so many different directions, because there are some fantastic, you know, things being released by, you know, companies like Mesa Boogie. But at the same time, we've got an incredible range of modelers coming out all over the place. And then loads of companies doing really great, really affordable preamps that you can partner with a power amp. You know, even down to Vox MV50s, they do a high gain one. But yeah, I thought we'd talk about that. Matt Knight, why don't you start us off?
What are we classing as affordable here?
That's my question.
Well,
what are we saying? Under a grand?
I'd say under a grand.
Yeah. Okay, let's do that.
If you're, yeah,
let's try and get as under a grand as possible.
Okay, well, I'm looking at Valve Amp heads at the moment. I think there's a couple of really good options out there. So there's a couple I want to kind of shout out. Ones I've used that I think are very, very good. Firstly, super simple, loads of gain, and really just a game-based Valve Amp, the Victory BD1, which is their 30-watt like mini amp, I guess. It's much smaller than normal Victory amps. It's just gain, contour, and master volume. Still has an effects loop. It goes down to low-powered. I think you can get it down to 2 watts if you want to use it at home, but you've got more high sort of high power if you want. But it's just super simple, easy to use, and just relies on you sort of riding the volume control on your guitar if you want to clean it up a bit. So if you're doing just a lot of high gain, I think that's a really good place to start. One that we definitely haven't talked about much, but I think would be a really good option, especially if you're after modern high gain, but you also want that kind of very modern sort of plinky clean sound, would be the PV Invective Misha Mansur Signature Mini Amp, which is $699. They're due out within the next month or so, and I think that would be a really, really good option. Obviously great clean sound, great drive sound, and a bunch of great controls on the back panel. So you have a mic simulated DI out. You can defeat the speaker if you want to, or you can run both at the same time. You can plug headphones into it. You can run 1, 5, or 20 watts. You can run into different cabs. You've got an effects loop on there, and there's a onboard boost and noise gate. So if you definitely want a modern high gain amp, and yeah, well within that sort of under a grand, I think that'd be a really good option.
Yeah, very cool. I'm surprised you didn't go for the Boss Katana as one of your suggestions, because of course the Katana.
I've already mentioned Boss enough, and really, in fact, I'm pretty sure Joe already has a Katana.
Well, clearly it's not good enough for
high gain. Well, apparently not. I'm going to have words. If not, I'll just make sure he buys one of those instead. But if you can't, for whatever reason, they would be my other choices.
Mark Packham?
Do you know what I'm going to say? Something I always come back to, and it, actually, there's not really enough information in the question about what Joe wants. No.
Don't do it.
Marshall DSL 50.
Yeah.
Because I've been watching...
I thought you were going to say MG10.
MG, I was like... Marshall, yeah. Just don't take a guitar with. There'll be a guitar there. Don't worry about it. No, I've been watching. I keep going back to it because my friend is looking at, you know, different amps and stuff, and we've been kind of talking about solutions. So I've been watching a lot of DSL 50 videos, like comparing it to other stuff that's like a bit more expensive, like JMPs or other stuff you can buy. I think we talked about it a few weeks ago, the Vintage Modern, was that what they were called? Vintage Modern Heads, Marshall?
Yeah?
Yeah, Vintage Modern 50, or I can't remember. Vintage Mod...
Vintage Modern.
It was Vintage Modern.
The old ones. Quite a while ago, but they were wicked.
Yeah, they were really good. And so I've been watching a lot of DSL 50 videos, comparing them to all that stuff. And I think, for me, they just sit, as well as me really liking the amp, the price that you can get them for used now sits in exactly the right place where they should be. So, you know, JMPs and the kind of slightly older stuff are very expensive. Even 800s, JCM 800s now are, you know, you're pushing kind of £800 or £900 a lot of the time to get one. And DSL 50s, I still think they're underrated in terms of what people think of them. They're a very good amp. They hold up, you know, against an 800 or against a, I think they held up very well against an old JMP even. And you can get them for like £400. It just all depends on whether giggable means carrying a 50-watt Marshall head
right,
with you.
Yeah.
Which, back in the day, was a giggable amp. Is that still giggable? Don't know. The definition has shifted a bit. But I would pair one of those up. And if you want to go high-end, what I would actually do is, I think the clean and the crunch channels on the DSL 50 excel, but they might not be metally, like, high-gainy enough. So what I would actually do is get a Redbeard Red Mist. I think the best metal pedal that I've heard for a long time. Put one of those in front of it for your more driven stuff. And use that instead of the overdrive channels on the DSL 50, and I think you'd be laughing. That is a really good setup for not much money.
How much is a
Red Mist? 120 quid or something?
Yeah, they're not a lot of money.
Kind of 500-ish pounds, you've got one of the best valve amps ever made. I'm staking that claim. And a pedal that will put you exactly in the ballpark for doing modern high gain stuff, but like not too clinical. I think something that sounds like rough and raw, but has some variety there as well, but will do the modern sound too.
Sure. Jay Cross.
I mean, obviously this is a little out of my wheelhouse, so I will be the first to admit that. But just kind of thinking back to the sort of things that I would recommend while I was working in the shop, I was just sort of trying to think back to what those were and just having a little look at what the options are out there available at the moment. Depending on how giggable we're talking about, I mean, in terms of a drive sound, I always really like the Orange OR15s. 15 watts probably a little bit too low, knowing the sort of band that Joe is in, so that's probably out. So I would offer a couple of options for around 500 quid, so a little bit cheaper than the grand budget that we were talking about, and that is the EVH 5150 Lunchbox and the PV6505, which mini, both of which are, you know, very similar sounding amps. The 6505 I always kind of ignored because I wasn't really bothered about that sound, and it was actually only when the PV Classic mini head came out that I really paid attention to what they were doing with their smaller heads. And, you know, that Classic mini head I thought was fantastic. I remember really pushing hard for it in Gear of the Year, whichever year that was, I can't remember. And then the EVH Lunchbox head is, very similar sounding head. The Mark II, I think it is, came out recently.
We're on Mark III,
the Lunchbox Mark II.
Oh, right, Lunchbox Mark II.
Again, this is really kind of in the peripheral of my knowledge.
Okay.
But I remember playing both of those and, you know, both the metal chords that I know, which is E and E minor, both sounded great through it. So, I'd recommend having a look at those.
Right, okay.
Can I also suggest, really quickly, again, if you're thinking that you could do, you know, like DSL 50 size, you know, classic Marshall head size, could I just recommend an original 5150? Like, I know they're a bit hard to come by now. There's not much about.
How much do they go for?
I can't find a price. I was just looking to see if I could find a price for a used one. I can't find one anywhere. They've got a very distinctive sound. Like when you hear a 5150, it sounds like a 5150.
Yeah.
But they are absolutely awesome. And if you just want sheer metal and rock power, 5150 is absolutely incredible.
The current EVH 5150, which is the 3, is available as a combo now in a 212 combo. It's weighing an absolute ton.
I like the new stuff a lot. I just do think there is something to be said for the original PV ones. They've just got kind of this, I was about to say girth, and that is how I'm going to describe it. They've got a kind of girth about them.
Okay.
To my ears, the new ones sound a little bit tighter and a bit more focused.
Right.
There is something a bit kind of like flabby about
some
the original 5150s. Yeah, exactly that.
Right.
And that's what I like.
I'm not sure about this.
Of course it is. But okay, so my suggestion, I think the thing that I've loved, that I've been the most impressed with, that does this sort of thing over the last little while, has been the Helix, the Line 6 Helix, which of course is now available at a ton of price points. So, you know, you can go for the HX Stomp and pick something up for how much are they? Like £400, something like that.
I'll have a look right now.
An HX Stomp. But, you know, you can go for the LT at sort of around £750. I appreciate that's taking up the bulk of our budget here on just the Helix. But it will give you so much more than just a massive range of fantastic sounding high gain amps. And don't forget, Line 6 are updating the Helix all the time and adding new amps and new effects. So, you know, there's always a bunch of new cool free things. And thanks to the sort of Helix community, there are so many presets available for you to download that have been built by people who are just spending, you know, so much time building these presets, which means you don't have to. You can just find the best ones, which I think is very, very good. That then, of course, gives you the option of going front into house, which I'm still not on board with. I don't think it works at smaller venues. I've seen way more examples of it not working than it working, which then means that you're going to have to run it into an amplifier in some way. And if Matt is indeed right, and Joe, you have a Katana, you can of course plug into the effects loop. And just use it as a power amp essentially, which is very good. Just turn off the cab modelling, and you know, you'll have a fantastic sounding preamp with whatever effects you want, and then you've just got such a massive multitude of various things that you can use. But it's very cool. Anyway, that pretty much brings us up to the end of this week's free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. You can of course listen to an entire extra episode of Guitar Nerds every week over on our Patreon at patreon.com/guitar nerds. You can also find that in the description of this podcast episode. Now this week our Patreon episode is the third in our 10-part Gear of the Decade series of podcasts. Each week we're going to be tossing up the best bits from 2010 through to 2019 and then deciding upon the best products of the entire decade. So I guess this week is 2012 and we've got some fantastic things going in 2012. You know, of course, it's the first year we saw custom shop pickups in the Fender Standard line. We had probably, still to date, the most important guitar ever made, the PV8200. So it's going to
be one of those episodes.
It's going to be a very exciting episode over on there. And if you want to support us on Patreon, you can for as little as $1 a month. You'll get the podcast ad-free and early every week. Plus, you can be part of our live audience and participate in our semi-regular Guitar Nerds live episodes. At the $5 tier, you can enjoy an entire extra episode every week, plus access to our entire back catalogue of mini-series like Question Hole, Bar Chords, and the Friday specials. And at the $10 tier, you can become an executive producer and enjoy all these benefits. Plus,
oh, I forgot about this. I'm back in. I was just about to switch off.
Plus, the prestigious honour of having your name featured in what would normally be our podcast outro song.
Say it how you normally say it.
To have your name read out in one breath by me.
I forgot how much I love that.
I missed it.
Okay, fine. So you can follow us.
Is the sense of impending like doom, pain and defeat that's just about to like come across him.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, so you can follow us on all the major social platforms with @GuitarNerds, and you can join us on our Facebook community at facebook.com.
Blah, 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 blah. Get to the talking. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, fine. All right, so here we go. I'm hoping I'm going to be able to do this because I've got to read it off a slightly different list as well, because my main list is not working.
What is that? How's it different? Or is it backwards or something?
No, it's because I'm reading it off of Patreon.
Portrait?
And some people don't put their full names on Patreon.
Yeah.
Or they use some sort of alias. And I have a master list of what all those aliases are, so I can read out their actual names. But I don't have access to that
I'm
here.
I'm not sure about that.
So I have to guess what when I see one and it just says Will, well, I know that's Will Clare.
Okay.
You know, but then there are a few. There's a Stuart on there, and there are a few Stuarts. So, you know, it's and there's a Scott. Yeah, and there are a few Scots. I think that's Scott O'Brien, that one. I'll remember that. Okay, I think I've got this. I'm ready for this. There are two pages as well, so I need to wait for a page to load up in between this. I'm doing this list on like a super old Chromebook.
Yeah.
So
come on then, let's do
all
it.
Right, okay.
You will have silence.
Oh, no, you're not giving me backing music. I think there should be
maybe I'll just unmute the football. You can just have that as a background.
Okay, here we go. All right, okay, you can do this, Jay. I believe in you. Okay, here we are. It's alphabetical as well. Aaron
Sherman, Adrian Day, Andrew Good, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Brian Einsler, Brian Hansen, Carlos Manta, Christian Lund Hansen, Christopher Losef, Dave Lee, Derek Rich, Emery James Baker, Eric File, Eric Hammer, Ernie Cooper, Gavin van der Linden, Hans Ams, Jake Cutmore, Jacob McGee, Jake Gray, Jamie Kemp, JD Short, Jeffrey Wax, John Englund, Keith Adams, Ken Sayers, Mario Turan, Marcus Alcadawaki, Cliff Martin, Matt Bellamy, Matt Roberts, Matthew King, Marin Peters, Michael Howe, Moo Gravett, Nate Nagel, Neil Milton, Paul Corrigan, Richard Sudworth, Rob Barstow, Rob Krull, Rob Nordwick, Rob Grant, Robert Butterworth, Robin Smith, Ross Edwards, Scott O'Brien, Scott Kennedy, Sean Armo, please hurry up and load second page, Stephen Burke.
Oh, I didn't make it.
Steve Merkel, Stuart Robson, oh, Blake Wyland, Tucker Amadon, Will Clare.
Oh, you were close.
It was very close.
If the page load hadn't been there, I think you would have done
it. Yeah, I would have almost made it. Yeah, okay, that was... I didn't quite make it. So, unfortunately, it is still...
We've got to start the podcast again.
Yeah, right, hit delete.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, thank you very much, listener, for joining us for this week's episode of Guitar Nerds. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.